live, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some arse.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arse with Emma and Stephen and guest host Taylor, proudly brought to you this February thanks to our friends at the Dolphin Theatre. Kick Arse is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and check us out on Spotify. Now tonight we're chatting to guests all around the motu about their shows coming up, plus we've got some great music lined up for you. Later we're checking in with Emma in America, but first, to kick off the show, I've had the last 3 days of auditions running for Sister Act, so how appropriate to start our show with the song from Sister Act called Bless This Show.
Bless our show, bless our music, bless the songs we're gonna sing, bless the stage that we'll stand on when we stand and do our thing. Bless each line, every number, all the steps that we've rehearsed, and allow us somehow to be great at the worst. Bless each note and each lyric, help us try to stay on key. Bless the lights and the soundboard, bless our choreography. From the top of the downbeat till the final curtain call, bless the day, bless our show, bless it all. Well, that's all for everybody. Good night and God bless.
No, wait, Mary Clarence, wait. There's still so much more to pray for.
But what did I leave out? I bless the soundboard, for Christ's sake.
Bless our props, bless our costumes,
give our sequins extra glitz, bless our moves,
make them killer,
let us nail the funky bits,
bless our vibe,
give us mojo,
help our
let us rest when we're stressed so our best shines through.
Bless our wrists and arrangements, let our solos truly rock.
Help us tear up the sucker till they hear us down the block.
Let us lay down the boogie till it's bouncing ball to ball.
Bless our mic, bless our amps,
bless it all. Let our voices gleam and glisten. Let us strength to sing our best. And let all of those who listen feel they too are truly blessed.
Bless our show from Sister Act, the musical hitting Auckland in May this year. Welcome to the show, Taylor.
Thanks.
Sitting in Emma's seat tonight. Welcome back.
Yes, keeping it warm for her.
Excellent. So I've had the privilege of auditioning hundreds and hundreds of people the last few days. It's been fabulous. Fabulous, yep. Talent out there in Auckland. It's been awesome.
Full on, though.
Full on. Has. It's been a big couple of days, but the casting is done. The letters go out tomorrow. I'll stand by for the, you know, voodoo doll attacks in the afternoon, but, you know.
It's part of it.
It is, isn't it? But it's so hard. Because, you know, you have limitations on how many you can physically put in a cast. And in this case, we're actually running two complete casts. But still, hundreds miss out. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. But it's also a really important thing to learn about being in the industry.
Yeah.
Is you get a lot of no's before you get a yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, we have a massive night and a very unusual one, Taylor.
Mm.
It's just you and I in the studio the whole night. All our guests are outside of Auckland tonight.
I know, which is a good thing because it means that the arts is alive and thriving all over the country.
It sure is. Now, our first one, I need to warn our audiences that you are in for a scare.
Ooh.
Ooh. Diane and Campbell are joining us now from Geesebumps, an improvised Goosebumps adventure. Welcome, Diane and Campbell.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Fabulous to have you here. Now, first of all, before we sort of unpack who you are, tell us, what is Geesebumps all about?
Well, Geesebumps is, if you remember when you were younger, and there were the TV shows, but there were also the books. And there was a very limited run of books where you would read to the end of the chapter, and then you were given a decision whether to move to page so-and-so to, say, approach the police officer, or to move to another page if you wanted to run away home.
And, I loved them. They were my favourite type of books.
Yes, they are so much fun. And Campbell and I are improvisers. So we just thought that this is such a natural fit for audiences that see improv to come along and choose their own adventure.
Totally, totally. And what do you do for people like me? You know, I'm a Gemini moon rising. Making decisions is tough for me. What do you do for, you know, to keep your show going in moments as the improviser? You pick a path, you're getting the audience to you know, give you a guide. But do they ever not? Are you ever stuck there and you have to do a whole new plan?
That's a great question, because there are definitely shows that I've done that rely even more heavily than this one on audiences giving you something. And the trick with it is that there's always someone in the audience that's willing to give you something, because, you know, they've all come along to watch a show and they're not going to sit there waiting for the show to happen. So, you know, there's always someone brave enough to speak up and keep things going.
So awesome. Awesome.
And is this your first sort of adventure down this path, or are you used to doing these pick-a-path journeys?
Ooh, this is the first time I think I've ever really seen this kind of format for improv. I've been doing it for over 20 years, improv itself, but I've never seen anything quite like this, and we're using a bit of technology, projectors and things like that in the background, which is not commonly done in improv, but something we're starting to do here in Wellington, at least with this group.
Taylor and I we teach drama classes, and with our teenagers, we've actually had them do this pick-a-path type story before. But the bit that annoys them the most is when the audience all choose one way, but they really wanted to show the alternate choice or ending. And I leave it hanging. They were like, can't we show the other? I was like, no, that's the whole point. The audience made the call. Is it a bit like that with you, or do we get to see multiple variations?
Well, luckily enough, There might be a little bit of that, but there may also be opportunities for us to rewind, because a big part of the Choose Your Own Adventure books is that, you know, there is the very ending, but there are also a lot of bad endings and other endings along the way that you could get. So there is a very genuine chance that our show ends, in air quotes, 15 minutes in. And we have to go back to the previous choice and see what the other outcome would be.
Oh, wouldn't that be a funny moment, though, that someone ends it that soon and you just go straight to curtain call, walk off the stage and just leave them wondering, what is it?
But essentially, it's a different show every night. Therefore, you could come all three nights. Is it three nights that your season runs for?
Yes, that's correct. And yes, you could come all three nights and bring some more friends.
So tell us about your journey in the arts. Campbell, kick it off. When did it all sort of start for you?
Oh, God.
take us
back. My grandma and my mum are both actors and big theatre people. My mum actually was a drama teacher for many years. And so my very first show was at the age of 8 years old. I played a character in The Miracle Worker. I actually can't remember the name,
but it's the main character's younger brother appears as a ghost and kind of haunts her for a bit. Since then, I've been doing a lot of improv. I've been doing that for over a decade, and kind of moved to Wellington for university, but also for the theatres and things that are up here from Christchurch, and have been performing and writing and working in theatre in various capacities for quite a while now.
That's cool. That's cool. And Diane, is yours a similar journey?
Yeah, we all seem to start out quite young, don't we? We get the bug. I started out with Ace Ventura impersonations. Needless to say, I do not do those now. And my first role was a frog. And we did the song Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog. That was my starring role. But, since then I've had larger parts, thankfully. But I got into improv specifically because when I was at university, I was doing theatre, English and linguistics. And I was having to read a play and a book a week, and I couldn't do a scripted play on top of the workload. But with improv, you can just turn up on the night.
Mm.
You don't have to memorise anything. And then it just stuck.
Perfect.
What do you think's the key to being, a really good improviser?
Paying attention to your partner.
Yeah.
All the answers are in them.
Yep, yep. Cool.
And so the crew that you guys jam with at Fox Improv, there's a couple of you, you're all experienced improvisers or there's some newbies. Tell us about your team.
Yeah. So at Fox is run by myself, Elliot and Malcolm. And we actually wanted to do it a little bit different to how most improv in Wellington is done and actually audition. And the reason behind this was people often play with their friends, and we wanted to branch out and give more opportunities to people who may not have a friend group of other improvisers. And we also brought on two development roles who will be playing one night each as well, and that's a way for them to get experience with experienced improvisers and feel safe in that environment, and to again help bring them up and give them more opportunities. So we've got a bit of a dynamic mix, but also heavily experienced improvisers within the cast.
Awesome. I love that you guys see the mentoring as such a huge part of that. You know, the best way to get better, it feels like, is experience and doing a whole lot of really bad, failed gags before you get the good laughs. So that's cool that you're supporting, the next generation of improvisers too, to keep it alive in Wellington, because it is such a great night out to come see some improv.
Absolutely. Wellington's got a great improv scene.
Totally. Tell us more about where you can see your show in Wellington, the venue space. What's it like working there?
We're at 257 Willis Street, and I'm honest with you, I haven't played there before.
Oh, I have. I'll talk about it. 257 is actually like a co-working space that is based in Wellington, central Wellington. And it's kind of like, so while they have this kind of like co-working space during the day and all the computer monitors and set up and all these people doing their own different jobs, they do rent the space out for Fringe for various different shows, because they have this kind of like, it's very hard to describe without showing someone a photo, but it's kind of like a large almost conference area that is separated during the day normally just simply by curtains and a big kind of wall through the middle, but the wall collapses and the curtains fold away, leaving you just with this kind of like very large room essentially, which when people do shows in the space, they quite often, the other thing they have in this room is a series of bleachers, so could they move the bleachers around, and people will often set up these bleachers as like audience seats, and then put the performers at the other end for your classic stage setup. But there are plenty of shows that have done stuff in the space before, especially during Fringe, and have used it in lots of different ways. Not necessarily that traditional kind of like audience performance split, but there, yeah. there are other shows that have done other variations.
Because we were talking before the show went to air, and we weren't sure, because there's a couple of venues in Wellington closing its door this year. Isn't one of them?
No.
Not that we're aware of.
No, cool.
I mean, they definitely still exist as an office.
at least for the next few weeks, you're in. Yeah,
yeah, that's primarily their kind of business model, so I don't think they're concerned about the theatre selling well.
Yeah, this is extra money for them after 5 p.m., if you will.
Yeah, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. That's cool. All right, where can people go to find out more, get tickets, or find out more about joining Outfox Improv?
So, to buy tickets, you would go to the Fringe website and search for Geese Bumps. And the first show is on the 21st of February. Outfox is still reasonably new, but we do have social media. So if you look Outfox Improv, you should find us.
Fantastic. And fringe.co.nz is where everyone needs to head to grab tickets. Thank you so much, Diane and Campbell. Have a fabulous season. Enjoy your improv, and let's hope people make wise decisions in their path journeys.
Thank you so much, you both.
Thank you for having us.
All good. Take care.
See you guys.
Love it. Sounds something really different, Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's great to go to something and be in a different feeling space with different sort of format, you know.
Yeah. I think it's really cool. Totally. Before we break for music, we have a young listener, Taylor, listening, who's just moved to New Zealand. He's been messaging from Nepal.
Wow.
And a young gentleman here studying in Auckland at university, listening, loves the arts, is also trying to seek a job. So he's putting out to our audiences, if anyone is looking for a young worker, he's a hard worker and can work in most industries, flick us a message, info@kickarts.org.nz, and we will pass on his contact details. We always like helping our listeners. Welcome, Anish, to New Zealand. Now, we are going to break now for a song, and our song is from the indie rock group No Cigar. They just released this last week, and it's called Problem.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Cigar with Problem, just released last week. Great Kiwi music. Thank you to Little Sister Music for sending that track our way. Now, Taylor, our next guest is a little bit different to usual, I feel, because we are about to chat to a fabulous Welshman, Robin Whelans, and I believe possibly his cat. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Hi, how's it going?
It's good. How are you?
All right. This is going to be slightly uncharted territory, but I like a challenge, and so does Lentil.
Excellent. Well, you better first of all tell us a little bit about Lentil and what is ChatGPT, the show that you've brought down to New Zealand for the Fringe Festival.
Well, that's a good and fair question, and one I struggle to explain best of times. It's a true story. Lentil was a real cat. He was born in 2000. And he moved in with me, along with his sister, Chickpea. So there was Lentil and Chickpea, a brother and sister pair, that moved in with me in a lovely Welsh farmhouse deep in the middle of nowhere in Wales, and had a great life. When he died, I just tried to resuscitate him and bring him... Well, I was going to bring him back to life as a taxidermied cat with some robotics.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a good idea, if a bit random. I kind of didn't want to let go, I suppose. But it all went wrong because the freezer defrosted twice, and they ended up with a soggy mess of a cat at the bottom of the freezer, and a very bad start to a taxidermy project. And the ridiculous tale is, sort of 10 years later, I've turned him into a robotic cat with a skull. That's about all that remains.
Right.
The rest of it had to be abandoned. But he has gained all sorts of robotics, a synthesizer, he has a minibar, he has a claw, he comes up on legs, and most ridiculous of all, he's got his own projections and audio, and his own brain. He has fully-fledged AI, which is known as ChatGPT.
Wow. I'm not too sure what to make of all of that. What are the audiences in for when they come along to one of your shows?
Well, we get a very interesting audience in the first place, that's for sure. We get a good mix of people who are either really into cats, into robotics, into AI, maybe they like a funny story, or most of all, they're just completely mystified. There's been a few people who've mistaken it for a ChatGPT show, which is quite funny. What can they expect? It's a completely spontaneous show. It's a two-man or two-person thing, me and the cat. It's completely live. Anything can happen, unscripted. In fact, there are 2.6 million possible outcomes. It is very clever. It works with objects and speech recognition and all sorts of stuff. So you never get the same show twice. And it's hilariously funny, I hope. But it also has a few sort of serious messages and poignant moments as well. There's an underlying story here too, but basically it's a completely wild show.
Wow. And what's your background as a performer? Is this something you've been in the game for a while? It was robots a new thing for you? Obviously a creative individual to have been the, you know, creator of the cat. But what's your background as a performer?
Well, yes, I'll be honest. It's the first time I've tried to make a robotic dead cat. But my background isn't in performing as such. I did work in concerts and events for 20 years, doing multimedia, big video screens and content, and worked for lots of big acts like Coldplay and Calvin Harris and Andy C and Skrillex. And I did the Pink Floyd's reunion at Live Aid, which was probably my career highlight. So I had a hell of a life doing all that. That's my background. So that's one of the reasons the tech is good, but I didn't know anything about robotics or AI, and I certainly know a whole lot more about cats now.
What sort of things do the audience bring up with you during the show?
Mostly bamboozlement, if that's a phrase in New Zealand. Complete confusion at first. But they almost always swing round, and it gets more funny as the show progresses. They kind of reveal more and more about what happens, but it's hard to explain. But the audience is sort of in charge of what's happening. They pick objects which the cat recognises, and that kind of leads the story. So you could see it 1,000 times and see 1,000 different versions.
Wow.
So no two experiences are the same. So for a while they're trying to work it out what's going on. But once they realise Lentil has his own brain, they start asking him interesting questions and lots of questions about AI and the ethics of it. But the key thing I haven't explained yet is Lentil has returned as a life coach, because who knows more about life than a cat that's died several times. So he's here to dispense life advice, and sometimes it's terrible.
Well, it's all types of advice are worth listening to sometimes, I think. Yeah. It seems like we've got lots of audience-led, you know, theatre that I don't know if you were listening to the guys beforehand at Fox Improv. They were talking about audience-led theatre. In some ways, this is sort of the sort of improvised theatre making that you're doing. Do you think you have any other, what are your dreams for you in the cat? Do you think this is the only show that you'll put together? Do you think you'll do scripted performances? What is the future for you?
As someone who's neurodiverse, I can't imagine ever having a script. I'm incapable.
Hmm.
I exist in the moment, but so do cats. That's one of the reasons a cat is a good metaphor, because I don't think any creature lives as much in the now as a cat. So I'm planning on running with this for as long as I possibly can, to be honest. We launched it at Edinburgh Fringe, which is the world's largest comedy show festival last year. We did a big Christmas tour. We've just been to Japan. We're off to Adelaide Fringe next week. We did a great show on Friday, actually, at Porridge Watson in Whanganui. That was amazing. What a good crowd. And we're going to run as far as we can. We're doing Cheltenham Science Festival, Brighton Festival in the UK, Glastonbury. I'm going to see if I can run with it for 2 or 3 years. It'll be a hell of a story if I can get a deaf cat to take me around the world.
Definitely.
I was looking.
How did you get through customs with it? Was it, you know, we can't even let an apple in the country. What about a cat skull?
Well, that was a problem, I'll be honest. It was only about a week before that someone pointed out that this is a problem. So I went to extreme lengths to get him 3D printed. But being on the spectrum, I didn't just get him printed once. I got 13 copies of him, just in case. So I bought multiple attack copies of Lentil. But I was wondering whether they would maybe check that it was actually resin rather than skull, which was funny. But more worrying is that he's sort of in a briefcase with lots of flashing lights and smoke machines, and basically he looked like a bomb. We had all sorts of issues getting him on all the planes, and it's going to be a recurring problem.
Yes. Yes, although hopefully, you know, people will start to learn about you coming and get a bit more of a pre-warning. Do you find audiences around the world react differently or ask different questions?
Very much so. Japan didn't know what to make, but obviously that's the country of Hello Kitty.
Mm.
And cat culture is huge there. One of the things that is quite clever about it is that it is multilingual. So for the first time ever, we did a show that was sort of half in English and half in Japanese.
Wow.
I can't speak any Japanese, needless to say, but the cat can. there's limitless options, really.
Oh, it's just incredible. I think as well as the show is the need for a film crew to follow you around through the airport to these different venues, because the reaction is just as valuable as some of this content, I think.
It's absolutely true. It's a documentary waiting to be made. I'm filming what I can. In fact, we're filming this now, so this will be on the documentary.
Yes.
Brilliant.
It's one of those stories where the making of it is almost as interesting as the thing itself. The whole backstory, the fact that it's all true.
Have you got Lentil with you now?
I have. I mean, he's temperamental and he's a cat. Anybody listening who has a cat will fully appreciate this. You are never quite in control.
Any interview with anyone that comes into New Zealand, the first thing everyone asks is, what do you think of New Zealand? And I just would really appreciate Lentil's take on that.
Well, we can have a go. I think he's quite enjoying it. Let's just try that.
All right.
Lentil, the radio station is asking, what do you think of New Zealand? This will be interesting.
Or New Zealand. It's warm, it's full of lovely humans, and most importantly, the people here appreciate a good cat. The audiences have been incredible. Long and wide was full of cat people, and Auckland gave me the royal treatment I deserve. Also, I'm thrilled to be performing at the Welsh Dragon Bar because, as a sophisticated robotic feline, I take my Welsh very seriously. And the food? Magnificent. If you keep feeding me, I may never leave. New Zealand, you might have just adopted a slightly unhinged robotic life coach cat.
Can you hear that, okay?
That is brilliant. Absolutely. That made our night. That's brilliant.
So he's got plenty more where that came from. I think he wants to tell you about his plans, I think.
Yeah, but, go for it. Take it away, Lentil.
I warn you, anything can happen. We'll see what he says. It's a lot to do with asking the right question, and I wrote all this AI myself, but we'll get to that in a minute. Lentil, can you explain to anybody listening what your plans are for New Zealand? What are you looking forward to over the next week or so? I have been trying to tell him.
Oh, I can hear you perfectly. My plans for New Zealand are very exciting. From Friday 14th to Tuesday 18th February, I'll be performing live at the Welsh Dragon Bar for New Zealand Fringe. It's the only Welsh bar in the Southern Hemisphere, so I'll be practicing my Welsh and enjoying some proper food. Very important for a hardworking robotic cat. I'm also doing a one-night-only unhinged adult show at Te Awaha Cinema on Saturday 15th. That one's less family-friendly. Mostly, I'm looking forward to meeting more wonderful humans, spreading feline wisdom, and enjoying not being trapped in a freezer. New Zealand, I'm loving you so far.
I think that's quite a good sales pitch for the dead cat.
Absolutely awesome. Absolutely. And how long are you here in New Zealand for entirely, Robin?
Not long enough. I love this place. It's my first time here in years, and I've forgotten how much I love it. I've been to 40 countries, and I think it's my favourite place outside of Wales, partly because it's kind of similar but warmer and bigger.
That's cool. Now, I believe next week Emma and Adam are in the hot seat next week, as Taylor and I are not here, so they are going to catch up with you to see how your week of shows have gone.
I feel the story will be writing itself, and there'll be a whole load of new dramas and developments by then. You are dealing with a dead cat. Anything can happen.
Love it.
He drops me in it all the time. It's quite funny, and he loves nothing more than taking the mickey out of me. I'm the main victim.
Oh, that's pretty special. Look, we will have to leave it there. Where can people head to find out more about your shows coming up?
They can find out more at the New Zealand Fringe website. Also, our own website is catgpt.pro. CatGPT Pro is also our socials, Facebook and Instagram, so that's easy. And I'd like to say, last point, is that much as it's a funny show, it's really about how we remember the dead and how we keep their memories alive. And so, although it's about the cat on the surface, it's really for everybody who's lost anybody. So respect to all of those.
Brilliant. Okay, awesome. All right, Robin. Well, Emma will look forward to catching up with you next week. All the best for your shows ahead. Have a fabulous time travelling our beautiful country, Lentil.
Thank you, guys. Keep your cat close.
All right. Take care.
Cheers.
Emma, it's amazing, with this AI technology now sort of more and more coming into performance. I called you Emma, sorry, Taylor.
That's all right.
You're in the seat. And it's interesting that we were talking pre-show about me using some AI software to tweak. I thought it would be appropriate now. I'm going to play that song, one of them.
Yes, please do.
And this was a song that we just entered sort of the words into and got AI music to create the rest of the track. It's actually from a stage show we wrote years and years and years ago, but with some modern tweaks. But everything you hear is AI created. Have a listen to this.
In the quiet moments when you're feeling low, there's a light that glimmers, a warmth you know. Through the storms and heartaches, they stand so true. With every heartbeat, they'll comfort you. Everyone needs a friend, someone who'll be there till the end. Shining star in the darkest day.
after sharing tears, lost in the air. A bond unbreakable, it's beyond compare. When the world feels heavy and you need a sign, look into their eyes and everything's fine. Just to breathe in with every memory, let your heart glow. Everyone needs a friend. Yes, someone brightens up your day. Stay forever, come what may. Everyone needs a friend. Laughter, sharing tears, love's in the air. A bond unbreakable, it's beyond compare. When the world feels heavy and you need a sign, look into their eyes and everything's fine.
So, Taylor, what do you think? That's completely AI. Well, AI created sound and backing, but mainly my words. Well, fascinating, isn't it?
It is. As someone that knows the original song,
yeah,
that you don't actually recognise the original song within that new piece, that's scary.
Yeah.
But then you also wonder, like, what is the role of the creative now? When you can do so much of this, because how much input did you have to put into that?
Yeah, a decent amount, and you go back and forward a fair few times. So you've still got to have enough, I guess, music now to create it to sound good. But yeah, it is fascinating. What I've been fascinated since playing with this for the last few weeks is hearing other tracks now on the radio and going, oh, that sounds like that voice.
Yeah.
Am I listening to Mr. AI or am I listening to real? It's really interesting.
Mm.
But did you ever think you would be talking to an AI dead cat reincarnated in your life? That was definitely the strangest in a nice way interview I think we've ever done.
Yeah. It's on the highlights. For 2025.
What a lovely guy, though. Like, fascinating story. What a fascinating story. Yeah. I was a little bit worried about when it got to the fridge defrosting the cat. But just brilliant. We'll look forward to hearing next week. Emma and Adam will catch up with Robin and hear how the show's going. All right, something very, very different now. I don't think there's any dead cats in this next story. We are absolutely delighted to chat to the team from Mic Drop as part of the Fringe Festival. Good evening, Irish and Marcus. How are we?
Good, how are you? Very good.
We are good, thank you. Now, someone kick it off. What is Mic Drop all about?
I will take that away. Kia ora, everyone. Mic Drop is a brand new hip-hop musical in development. It takes place in Te Aro, the place where the streets are cold and the bars are too hot. Te Aro is in Wellington, for those who don't know that. It's basically like the heart of Wellington. It's where the coolest places are, like Cuba Street, Te Aroha Theatre, where the show takes place. It's just a new hip-hop musical that we were like, you know what, let's bring it out to the masses.
Amazing. And you guys are from Wellies, Te Whanganui Atara, or what's your relationship with that place?
We're actually from Auckland, but I'm a student at Toi Whakaari, New Zealand Drama School.
Awesome. The acting program there?
Yep. So I've been there. I'm in my third year this year.
Awesome. And a cool piece of work to launch you into before you come out to the industry. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it something that you've developed while you've been at drama school?
Yeah, I have. I've been able to take part in a lot of really awesome writing programs. which has been really cool, and being able to meet a lot of cool people through it, like established writers like Ahi Karunaharan, Honikoka, Safi Thomas, so many great people.
Awesome. A cool playground, you know, to experiment with all those ideas. And is it, so are you guys, is this just your team? Who else is in the team of Mic Drop?
So there's me. So I'm an actor writer. Marcus is a director writer. We've also got the awesome Amanda Jo, who is our production and stage manager. She's actually both of our bosses. So we're here with some of her. And then we've got an awesome cast, which has people like Joshua Leota, Waikamania Seve, Roy Clark, Joel Washington, and Tamaho Tehe, who are all graduates, who are the graduates or current students of TOI.
Brilliant. Now, Marcus, have you written this sort of themed in any particular theme?
Originally, even before this was a film project. So I actually come from a film background, and Ayush over here, he's kind of roped me into this entire world of theater, and it's been actually so amazing. The story itself and the scenes has been kind of a back and forth adaptation from the original film version of this of Mic Drop, originally called Drop the Mic, which is actually, yeah, comes back from my high school days. And Ayush has brought in his experience of rap from his time in high school, and then it's kind of just been this nice combination of these two worlds and bringing forth this story to life. Yeah.
Now, if my memory serves me right, you're a Mount Albert Grammar boy.
Yes, So I went to Mount Albert Grammar. My background is in dance, drama, music, and film.
And you have a fabulous relative called Trish.
Yes. she's my auntie. Yeah.
Yeah. We've taught all of your aunties boys over the years. It's a small world. It's a small world. How do you think high school sort of played a part in this journey for you? Because you just mentioned, you know, dance, drama, music and things at school. Did that sort of spark it for you?
Yeah, I've always known that a film was going to be the place for me, but my heart kind of ended up taking me to all these other avenues that kind of really strengthened my craft in film. So dance has taught me about, like, blocking, staging, and just kind of a bit more abstract thinking when it comes to the arts and storytelling or all that stuff. Acting has really helped me, like, communicate with other creatives, and being aware of, like, all the different things that come with that, I guess. And then film is a whole other medium which kind of takes all of the arts really and kind of puts it into this single product. So that's just that amazing journey for me, and Max has definitely built me up in that kind of way.
That is so cool. What is either of you now, what is the sort of the hip-hop scene like in New Zealand at the moment?
Well, I come from hip-hop dance. I used to be in a dance crew called Saints Dance Academy, and I've been in that space. But then when exploring rap has just kind of been this thing for both of us that we see it amongst our culture, where we just like to spit rhymes, even if we know we're not good at it. It doesn't really stop us from giving it a shot.
That's cool. Very cool. Where would you like to take this? You're sort of, I guess, the whole arts world for both of you. Ayush, you kick it off. You know, if we were interviewing you in 5 or 10 years' time, where's the journey taking you?
Oh, man, that's actually such a good question. I'd love for it to become a touring show, to be honest. Take it across two different communities, across not even like New Zealand, like everywhere in the Pacific, even like Europe or like the States and things. Definitely to places where hip-hop has played a major part in the history. I'd most of all love to take it back home to West Auckland, shout out Massey High School, kind of just my love for hip-hop grew more and more like as the years went on. I'd love to take it back to them because I think the heart of the story lies in those students. And also just, Marcus and I have talked about this briefly, hopefully in 5 years it becomes a TV show of sorts.
Cool. Love it. Love it. You're running for a long season, 14th of February through to the 8th of March.
Oh, no, that is the, I think that's the Fringe
Festival. Oh, that's the Fringe Festival. Gotcha.
19th to 22nd.
Brilliant, brilliant. How can people get tickets, find out more and all that sort of stuff?
The best way through is through the Fringe website. If you jump on fringe.co.nz, I think it's fringe.co.nz, go to the search up Mic Drop. You can get tickets there. Tickets start at $15 for students, and I think just general unwaged is $20.
Brilliant. And what do the two of you have in store after Mic Drop? When that closes, what's next on your calendar for 2025?
Ooh, number one for me is absolutely just 100% back to school. I want to graduate, and I just want to keep making work for myself and people like me. And just, yeah, for example, just for my friends and just for, like, the communities out there, I just want to keep making work that kind of gets them shown in the world.
Nice.
For me, so this is my first year, graduated out of Unitech, and I really want to, go down the writing directing path, and I guess I've got a film that will be going out to some festivals, or will be trying to submit it to some festivals, and I guess I want to keep in the space of writing and creating work.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, look, we wish you both the best of luck, not just for this, but for your future. Stay in touch. Let us know what you've got coming up. Head to fringe.co.nz, enter Mic Drop. Go and support these fabulous people working hard down in Wellington for the festival. Thanks so much, guys. And Marcus, give Trish a massive bear hug from me.
Will do, will do.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. All right, Go the Distance is the next song on the line tonight, Taylor. It's from Broadway's Leading Men's Concert. Enjoy.
Place where a great warm welcome would be waiting for me, where the crowds will cheer when they see my face, and a voice keeps saying, "This is where I'm meant to be. I will find my way. I can go the distance. I'll be there someday. If I can be strong, I know every mile will be worth my while. I would go most anywhere to feel like I belong." Down an unknown road to embrace my fate, at this journey's ending are the answers I lack, and 1,000 years would be worth the wait. It might take a lifetime, but I'm never going back, and I won't look back. Can go the distance and I'll stay on track. No, I won't accept defeat. It's an uphill slope, but I won't lose hope till I go the distance and my journey is complete. After all these years of heartache and despair, I've known
Go the Distance from Broadway's Leading Men's Concert. I believe it's pronounced Nick Relay is the singer in that track. Great number, great show. Now, we have had to do what we don't like to do this week, Taylor, and that is say no to people. Mm-hmm. Our inbox got filled this week with so many people asking to promote their stuff coming up in the next few weeks, but we are full, which is a great problem to have. You know, you need to be contacting us now about your mid-March to May shows to get on. We are chock-a-block with interviews, but we do have our bulletins and we'll get them up for you. So here's a few things that have come in our inbox this week. Take it away.
Amazing. The Wanaka Festival of Colour is proudly unveiling their 11th festival program, inviting you to immerse yourself in the arts and explore the extraordinary. The 2025 festival runs for 9 days from the 29th of March to the 6th of April, featuring over 60 events packed with theatre, cabaret, music, comedy, dance, kōrero, visual arts, community events, and so much more. It looks like tickets are already on sale. Holy hecka. The festivalofcolour.co.nz is where to get the full program.
Now, the New Zealand Society of Authors have a youth writing mentorship open now for 2025. Four lucky secondary school students will have the opportunity to be mentored by one of New Zealand's best professional authors in order to develop their craft and hone their writing skills. The New Zealand Society of Authors Youth Mentorship Program is offering aspiring young writers aged 15 to 18 a mentorship from May to November. The intent of the program is to foster and develop emerging writing talent with the support of established authors. There are four places awarded each year, and it has become a game-changing opportunity for young writers. The Society has been running successful assessment and mentoring programs since 1999 that aim to nurture, encourage, inspire, and develop emerging writers with the support of established writers. Now, the deadline for applications is 6th of April, and you need to head to www.authors.org.nz.
Kia Mau Festival, Aotearoa's contemporary tangata whenua, tangata moana and indigenous arts festival. Kia Mau returns to Te Upoko o Te Ika o Māui from the 30th of May to the 14th of June. It is setting the stage for 2 weeks of live performance, storytelling and artistic excellence. To get the full festival program, head to Kia Mau. It will be launched on the 31st of March.
And one of my favourite theatre groups is back in the country. It's Trick of the Light. They're unpacking a world of theatrical magic with their Suitcase show, which is a national tour. Now, if you haven't seen these guys, this is a real treat. Now, it's taking place in 9 centres from the 28th of February onwards. They're packing their bags to bring another masterful production to 9 centres. It's an eclectic box set of short stories, each told out of a suitcase. Dark, spiky and comic, there is storytelling at its finest from a team of New Zealand's greatest creative minds. Now, they use technology old school, and literally Trick of the Light gives it away. Go and check it out. It is on in Hamilton, Auckland, Whangarei, Kerikeri, Hawke's Bay, Carterton, Wellington, Wanaka and Dunedin. Lots of different sites to go and book from, so best just look up Trick of the Light in your local town for tickets.
Awesome. This one's for our big kids, an R18 event. The countdown is on to Cross Street Music Festival. It's gearing up for another huge night of live music, electric energy and unbeatable vibes. We're looking at Saturday, the 8th of March, 2025, and now the final acts have been locked and adding even more heat to an already stacked up lineup of Aotearoa's best indie and underground artists. 8th of March, I said, it's 4 till 12 a.m. That's a good night sorted. Tickets are available at Cross Street Musical Festival. festival.co.nz.
Now, you'll remember late last year we met the fabulous Cassandra Woodhouse, who was touring with her show Prima Facie. It is the Olivia and Tony award-winning production and one-woman show. It's all written by the Australian playwright and former human rights lawyer Susie Miller. It's had performances in Broadway, West End, across New Zealand and Australia. It's been translated into more than 20 languages. It's directed by the fabulous Michael Hurst. You need to go and check it out. Head to nztheatrecompany.com for tickets for Tauranga, Rotorua, Palmerston North, Auckland and New Plymouth.
The Sundown 7 are presenting a once-in-a-lifetime experience you won't want to miss, the Ballad of the Duct Tape Cowboy and Six Shot Cinderella. Stephen gave me that one because he wanted to get me good.
But where's it on at, Taylor?
We're looking at Auckland Pride Festival. Why are you laughing at me again? Oh, yes, the Dead Witch, the Ding Dong Lounge. He loves that. He loves that. He's having the best time. But it looks awesome. It's part of Auckland Pride Festival, and this Fringe award-winning story is told through unreleased music, so it seems like the place to be.
Brilliant. Now, Essence Unfolding was named by Urban List as one of the not-to-miss shows of last year's Auckland Fringe Festival. Stars the fabulous 16-year-old Ollie Green, who we had here in the Kick Arts studio last year. Well, the show is back as part of the New Zealand Fringe Festival, 14th to the 16th of Feb, and Auckland Pride Festival, 20th to the 22nd. A lovely review from Matt Keane, Theatre View. From the opening second, Essence Unfolding is a beautiful, moving, profound and ultimately hopeful piece of work. The narrative that is built from Ollie's movement, both in the air and on the floor, is completely coherent. From the choreographed stumbles and falls that preface the fall into mental health struggles, through the setbacks of recovery, to the grace and clarity of the denouement. Go and check it out. You can get tickets from iTicket for Auckland Pride or nzfringe.co.nz for Wellington.
In the Body is coming to Basement Theatre at the Studio from the 13th to 14th of February. It's an 8:30 show. Tickets are looking at $20 to $30. Early bird, $17 to $27. It's 70 minutes. It's 70 minutes of questioning how can we reclaim our belonging into this world. Intimate, political, vulnerable, humorous and earthy. In the Body invites audience to explore together what it means to come home to who we truly are.
Now our fabulous friend, Captain Festus McMile, is back with a free family fun day. Mashup is back. It's a free multi-genre family event celebrating difference and diversity within family and community. Check out their travelling variety show, including their juggling magician, their live band, plus the 95 BFM kids show disco will be there. Go and check out all the details at CaptainFestus.com. And sorry, I'm just trying to give you the date there. Stephen's clicked ahead. It is Sunday, 16th of February, 11 till 2 at the Blockhouse Bay Community Centre. If you have something to send in and you'd like us to read out, or you've got an interview you would like to have, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. Also, we love playing Kiwi music, so if you've got someone tutuing in their garage out the back making noise, that noise we'd love to play. So get in touch, info@kickarts.org.nz. And remember to promote your show. We want a good 6-week lead-in, if we can, just because we're popular. Now, we have Gold Coast based but Kiwi Fijian rapper Saint Lane dropping a jungle infused hip hop track, Flashback. Here it is.
Flashback. Venue shut me down, throw at his fit, diamond shine, it's materialistic, girl, I'm sickly, show me your symptoms, I need mine, but that's what I'm giving. Pull up to the rain, make him bounce, and I bounce, smoke an ounce, and I'm out, it's a mountain, I'm out, got a mouth going south, and the south going loud, got your girl in my ass, saying let's get down. Flashback, know I used to flip caps on Snapchat, this is way, way pre-cash app, keep the cash stash in backpacks, yeah, back that. Flashback. Little boy, not on my tax bracket. Not on my level, dude, baby, incredible. I think they calling me Jack Jack. Flashback.
Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Call me a styrofoam. I'm getting kind of stoned. Lady, it's late. You want to stay? I'm feeling vulnerable. Got MDMA, all on my plate. Come take a seat. I gotta say, they throwing cheese. That is not me. They believe I'm throwing frames.
All over the floor with the road up Coca-Cola's. Snow right now outside, but my outfit boy is 10 times colder. 3 magic girls and me, you best believe it's hocus pocus. Smiling through my teeth, I'm smoking keep out holding on us. This year I'm gonna pop, elbow to the top. Can't better sit with the grounds. Pocket steak full of rocks. Guest list full of ops. Come through if you want. Come recall your chit chat. We can flashback if you want. What the fuck?
Flashback, flashback, flashback,
flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback, flashback.
Saint Lane with Flashback. Lots of new Kiwi music being launched. And again, thank you, Little Sister Music, for sending that through. Well, Taylor, the show is racing tonight and we're chatting to people all around the place. And now it's a chance to check in with the fabulous Anita, Artistic Director of Footnote New Zealand Dance. Good evening, Anita.
Kia ora.
Great to have you back on the show. And Footnote New Zealand Dance, obviously been around a while and established here in New Zealand, and you've got a new piece of work, Modern God, about to take to the stage.
Yes, we do. We thought it's our 40th year.
40.
So 40, that's wow. Right. So we're going up the with a banger. This Modern God is a real hit.
That is awesome. So what I guess is the story behind it?
Modern God is a deep dive into the internet, into the devices that we hold in our hands probably 90% of the day, and the online world and influencers. So we follow 6 influencers and their journey online.
Interesting. That's tonight's show has sort of, you know, touched on socials and AI technology. Yes. And sort of how hip-hop sort of fuses into it. How do you sort of translate, I guess, that story through dance?
Well, this particular show ventures into the world of dance theatre. So, you know, typically in contemporary dance, it's very abstract. There's not necessarily a narrative or a linear narrative. But this particular work is quite different, especially for us too, because we have a lot of text. You know, the characters have really clear or specific like themes or ideas of who they are, and it's very easy to follow sort of their trajectory. And we just frame it in a slightly wild, a little bit abstract, a little bit creative way.
Amazing. Tell us more about the team helping to bring this piece together.
Yeah, so we have the wonderful Jeremy Beck. He's the director and choreographer. Jeremy is born in Dunedin and has been an incredible dancer, had a wonderful career as a dancer and is still dancing, but is also a choreographer. And we have a AV creative production studio called Ready Steady, and they're based here in Wellington as well. And then we've got Benny Jennings on sound. We've got Gabrielle Stevenson, who's an incredible costume designer. She designs costumes for WOW. And we have Tony Black on lighting design.
Awesome.
How do they all sort of, you know, is it similar to a theatre show where the director kind of sets, I guess, what lighting they want, what sound, how it all works? Is it different in dance? Do they sort of play more of a creative part in piecing that story together?
Yeah, we work really collaboratively, and each sort of collaborator works differently in their own way. But I guess in a sense, you know, Jeremy, the choreographer-director, he's come up with the themes, he's done the arc of the show, the narrative, and then he feeds that into his collaborators, and then they bring their ideas, and they sort of work together to see it eventuate.
Okay, that's cool. How long's your journey been with Footnote?
Ooh. My personal journey has been quite a long one.
Yeah?
I was a dancer in Footnote, so I had a performance career as well. I think I did 6 years dancing when Deirdre Tarrant was the director, and then I went to the other side. So I started as artistic liaison in, I think it might have been 10 years ago, actually, with Footnote, and then sort of just worked my way up.
And in terms of your time with Footnote, is this something really unique and special, you know, something you haven't seen while it's your time with the company?
Yeah. Do you mean this particular show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what we really are trying to do is break down those barriers of people who come to contemporary dance and go, that was cool, but I didn't get it, you know? And it's like, this is clear, what who they are, what they are, and then we trick you into abstract dancing, and then you have a better idea. No, we don't trick you. It's just incredible performers, our dancers, they're just phenomenal. So, I'm super excited to bring this work to, especially to the regions, because that's something Footnote's really passionate about, is touring to all the regions. And I know that, you know, they deserve the high quality art that Auckland and Wellington always get as well. So, yeah, I feel like this particular work is going to really connect with a lot of people and connect with young people, given its themes. And that's something also that we're passionate about too.
And is that part of your role? Like, what's your role as artistic director?
My role would be to curate the artistic program, kind of like what when you see a selection of artwork in a gallery, I curate our artistic program. So I pull together the team and make sure that we're all sort of on the same page with what we want to make and spread out in the country. So, yeah, I would say that I'm like a curator of dance.
No. I like that.
And it helps that you have this background as a dancer and this experience as a performer, you know.
Yeah, and also so, like Footnote is so close to my heart because it was a part of my life for so long, and I get to see it develop through its next stages, you know, like we're constantly growing and pushing and just because we did something 20 years ago doesn't mean we're going to do it again. And you know, 40 years is an epic achievement. And so we want to acknowledge our history, but we also want to keep pushing forwards and keep trying new things and being edgy and,
That's cool. Now, you mentioned it's going out around the country. So where and when is this touring?
Cool. So we open in Wellington on Thursday this week on the 13th, and we're there for 3 nights. We're going to Auckland in Q Theatre, the wonderful Q Theatre. We're there on the 20th of February, and we're in the Hamilton's Arts Festival, actually, which is fantastic. So we're there, and then we're going to Christchurch in the Papaho Theatre, and we finish in the Oamaru because that opera house is exceptional.
It's beautiful. We've got some fabulous listeners in Oamaru, so James and team, you need to book now for 14th to the 15th of March. Some of our best listeners are down there.
Oh, fantastic. we love going to Oamaru, and the team at the theatre is so cool.
That's nice. Who do you think this show will appeal most to?
Well, I think it will appeal, obviously, to young people, given its content, but it's also a bit of an eye-opener to people who are not so fluent in social media. Okay. And with, you know, at the end of the day, the dancers are incredible, and if you want to be impressed with their amazing dancing, that will appeal to anyone.
Brilliant. Where can people go to get tickets or find out more about Footnote?
The best place would be our website, footnote.org.nz, or jump on our socials.
Fantastic. Thanks for chatting us so late on a Sunday evening, Anita. All the best with Absolute your very pleasure. Busy season and tour ahead.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's now time to head to the other side of the world and check in with Emma all the way over in the land of Trump.
Kia ora, guys. Thanks again to Stephen for holding the fort while I'm away in America with Travel Gang's Kiwi All-Stars over in the USA with a group of students taking part in the Junior Theatre Festival West, which is down in Sacramento. And the festival kicked off last night here, which was Friday. It's now Saturday here, and we've got a big day of adjudication and workshops and celebrity guests, etc., ahead. The kids are extremely excited. But I thought I would give you a bit of a recap of how things went in New York City and the shows that I saw on Broadway. So you might recall that last week we had a catch-up with Emma and Georgia. So they spent the rest of the week, well, a couple of days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday doing rehearsals, and I had the pleasure on Tuesday afternoon of seeing the final showing in New York of their 15-minute adjudication piece from Beetlejuice the Musical Junior, and that was absolutely fantastic. The kids, what they managed to learn in 3.5 days was phenomenal, and their piece was so strong and solid, and I can't wait for the Americans to see them performing later this morning here in Sacramento. So while I was there, we got to see four shows. So first of all, I saw The Outsiders. Now, some of you might remember S.E. Hinton's book, The Outsiders, about Pony Boy and his brothers and his gang of greasers and their issue with the Socias, called Socias because they're like socialites. That was amazing. Oh, and you might know it as well because there was a movie that came out early 80s that had a star-studded lineup, including Matt Damon, Tom Cruise, Patrick Swayze, to name a few. So this was so cool. One set had lots of elements that moved, use of projections. The choreography was on point, and yeah, so amazing and really motivating for the young men that we've got with us to see these guys doing this stuff and seeing the dancing and actually seeing how cool it actually is. I would highly recommend The Outsiders. Really good music, so even if you can't get to Broadway, maybe have a listen to one of the tracks. Our second show that I went to see was Hell's Kitchen. Now, I didn't know what this was going to be, and I don't know if it's because, of course, Hell's Kitchen is that iconic Gordon Ramsay cooking show, but Hell's Kitchen is also a area in Manhattan with lots of restaurants and eating for out places, and it's called Hell's Kitchen because that is where the main character, 16-year-old girl, lives. All the music is Alicia Keys music, so it's really iconic in that. And again, the choreography, oh my goodness, to see all the hip-hop, modern-day music infused with moments of contemporary, moments of lyrical and a bit of jazz, and the live bucket drumming on stage, and then the singing. Oh my goodness, I can totally understand why they won a Grammy. And I recommended some of our students went, and they fell in love with it as well. And then the third show I saw was, what was it? Oh, The Great Gatsby. Of course, an iconic story to recreate. Jeremy Jordan had recently stepped down from the lead and had been replaced by Ryan. Oh, my goodness, I've forgotten his last name. Again, stellar performances, the costuming and the set, like cars driving on the stage. And this costuming, the period costuming, oh my gosh. And you know, I don't know if I was more excited watching the set move, seeing what they came out in next in costumes. The storyline didn't really grab me on this one, and it had a bit of a naff ending, but you know, it was more of a traditional style musical rather than, you know, a bit more like the modern ones that we see coming out. But I'm glad I went to see it. And we were actually lucky enough to have a Q&A afterwards where the students got to speak to the stage manager, the musical director, who happens to come from Australia, one of the costume team, she's the quick changer for the main lead. And we also got to meet the girl that played the main female lead, Daisy, on that night, who was a swing. So a swing being someone that does it when the main lead can't. And then we also met an ensemble swing who
has 7 tracks that she swings for, and she's still in college studying, and it was her, this show is her Broadway debut. So it was really great for the, again, for the students to get to hear different aspects of the job and ways in and journeys that different people have taken to get there. So, yeah, the kids love that. And then the last show I saw on our final night was Maybe Happy Ending, which has is a predominantly a two-hander. There are two other people that don't do as much. And, of course, Darrow and Chris from Glee is the main person. And this is about two robots. So years on and their relationship. Again, the staging, oh my goodness, phenomenal. And I have to say, Darren Criss being a robot was phenomenal. Just he held the mannerisms and the quirky little way he walked through, just didn't stop. Was so convincing. Now, I think the hardest thing about this, and I would actually pay to go back to New York to see it again. I was on the far right, right in the back row in the balcony. So that's like the third level up. And yes, it's a steep rake on the seats, but it meant that we did have to lean forward, and at times we did struggle to fully see. So I would love to go back and sit dead centre and a little bit lower down. But again, great music, fantastic storyline. So, yeah, so, Stephen, if I had to rate my favourite, I think it would be Hell's Kitchen 1, followed by The Outsiders, followed by Maybe Happy Ending, and then The Great Gatsby. So only 4 shows this time, but all good shows. So, yeah, I need to sign off now because I actually need to go and get ready because I'm adjudicating this morning here at JTF West. I get to see 8 groups from different states across America and work with them live on an aspect of their performance to help them with a new skill. And then this afternoon I'm teaching acting class. And yeah, so, but I'm back in studio next week, so I'll be able to give you an update of the rest of our tour. We're here till Monday, and then we are on a bus to LA, 6-hour bus ride, so that will be interesting. And then 2 days at Disney, 1 day at Universal, and then we're home. So, yeah, have a great week ahead of you. Keep on kicking some arts. Oh, and I meant to say, back to the interview last week with Emma in Georgia, just a reminder that they're currently doing a Instagram takeover on juniortheatrefestival.nz. So if you want to see some footage and some insight of the Junior Theatre Festival, jump onto that Instagram page. Again, that's juniortheatrefestival.nz. While you're on there, you might also find Junior Theatre. Theatre spelt wrong because it's the American site, so Junior Theatre with an ER on the end, Festival, and that will have all the updates from the Americans as well. So check us out and have a great week.
Just wanna know ya, just wanna talk to ya, I wanna hear about your day, I'd never leave ya, never be mean to ya.
Fashion and the heart.
Good old Vic Runger. Always a goodie to play. Always a goodie to play. Now, Taylor, you've got an exciting thing happening because you've been part of the fabulous film Tina that is premiering this week and out towards the end of the month.
Yes. Tuesday, Tina is premiering in Auckland, which is super exciting.
Can you tell us a little bit about the story?
Sure. It's a film for all our mother teacher people out there. It does it starts off with the Christchurch earthquake, and you were you were involved in that, and so I think I'm really interested to see how New Zealand sees that event on our screens in a film like that. And from there it it talks about how that event has influenced this the Samoan teacher, her life, and a school that she starts a new job at. It's about the love of music, the power of music, and it's really beautiful and worth going to see.
I just love a good New Zealand story.
Yeah.
Now, you've played someone a little bit younger. You've had to go back into your high school days.
I did.
What was that like? I love the promo photos with you in school uniform.
I know, and I wore my school uniform to the audition. I had my old blazer. So, yeah, I'm playing someone sort of 9 years younger than myself. And it was amazing to tap into that part of myself. Obviously, I must be all right. It can't be too hard of a cast for them if they cast me in that role. But I was acting alongside current high school students as well.
Yeah.
So then I'm going, oh, heck, yeah, you high schoolers. Nah. but no, it was just lovely to play in that position again of innocence and yeah, and to work with Anapala, who plays the lead. She is amazing. Miki Mangasepa, the director, his cast, and that he talks about that it was a no-brainer casting her. And you'll see it as soon as you see the film.
See it just in the trailers. You know, you can see instantly. I mean, you watch the trailer and you go, oh, no, this is New Zealand at its best. This is a good piece of film.
Yeah.
Tina herself, the real character, has she been part of the process?
I think so. Anapala did help to create the character, but yes, and I think it's influenced from lots of auntie mother type of people that Miki has in his life, and that his the creative team have had in their life. You'll recognise her, you know, when you see her, you go, ah, yes, we all know that character. Yeah, so that comes cinemas. It's 27th of Feb, so not long to go. A couple of premieres here, Te Whanganui a Tara o Tautahi, and then it's in cinemas for everyone to see and go to and take tissues.
Have you seen the final rap yet?
I have.
You've seen it on a sneak peek?
I have, and I truly cried at the beginning. and I had read the script. I knew that moment was coming, but the moment, and it's the quake moment, is like you see in the trailers. Mm. It's that moment, but it's just the fully fleshed out moment in the cinema is pretty moving. Yeah.
Brilliant. Mm. Brilliant. Awesome. Go and check it out. There's so much happening around the country. We've got our fringe festivals, our pride festivals, films to see, plenty of things to keep you out of mischief. And, of course, you can head to kickarts.org.nz to find out more. Check out our Facebook and our socials as well. That's where we're popping lots of things up, especially when we can't get them in on the show. Thank you, Taylor, for filling in the seat. We'll see you again soon and possibly lots of times this year because we've got a bit of a busy year, Emma and I. We're going to close the show with a lovely young man we met last year, Blake Stanton. Here is his track, Lost Love. Have a fabulous week and make sure you
kick some arts.
I met a man who's holding on to roses far too gone, reciting his poems again and again. In his grasp a withered rose, echoes of a passing pulse of a love that lived him when he said, the park bench, she sits alone, mumbling in a somber tone. She says, let me tell you, the beginning or the end. On his lap, a tidy book. Here you go, son, have a look. Love story he cannot mend, cause he said, I don't care. Put a plaster on your tongue, it just bleeds, the bleeding is done, and the pain goes on and on. You know what they say, moose lips sink ships, you change your life and your world is filled. Around and around, cause he said, I don't. Just don't care.
Going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some art.